Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, we celebrate the Ascension today, a couple of days early, but that's all right. And the Ascension, as I mentioned, was one of those doctrines that the church has kind of sometimes been a little remiss. It's an essential piece of who Jesus is for us. And it's an essential piece of the work that he came to do. So without the Ascension, we're sort of at a blank spot. We need the Ascension in our celebration in order to really have that hope that his return is imminent. Because if he hasn't ascended, then where's he going to come from? We need the Ascension. And so I'm going to read just a couple of things and then we'll get to a starting point here. The Ascension of Christ inaugurates the beginning and the end. It completes the earthly ministry of Jesus, the Son of God and our Lord. It begins the ministry of the church on earth, empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is the beginning of the end, as the church on earth, or the church militant, has marched on, awaiting the return of their ascended Lord Jesus. His ascension fulfills all he came to do, from the time of the manger in Bethlehem to the time of the tomb in the garden. It is the lighting of the fuse, as at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes as tongues of flame. It is the start of understanding, hearing, seeing, knowing, and believing in Christ for the salvation of all people. Jesus assumes his place at the right hand of the Father, and as the Father has worked wonders through his mighty right arm, so too he has worked wonders through the one who sits at his right hand. But the wonders never cease. The mercy never ends. The steadfast love of the Lord is everlasting to everlasting. The mandates to love one another, to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, do not go away. They do not come to an end. Now they must be proclaimed. Now they must be shared. In both of our accounts, in our gospel reading and in the reading from Acts, we see the ascension from two different perspectives. One is from the gospel writer Luke. The other is from Luke in Acts. It's interesting. Luke's name is on both of them, and yet a little different perspective in each one. It begins with Jesus opening the disciples' minds to understand the scriptures. We don't want to downplay that. That's not just a little sort of trivia note. At that point, when Jesus was preparing to ascend and leave his disciples on their own, kind of, with the Holy Spirit coming eventually, they needed something. If they were to go out and be witnesses, if they were to go out and proclaim forgiveness, they needed to understand the scriptures, and not just from a Hebrew school understanding of the scriptures. This wasn't just a way to interpret. It wasn't just sort of cognitive understanding of the scriptures. He opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. A double understanding. So it wasn't just sort of elementary school. He opened their minds so that when they heard the scriptures, when they read the scriptures, when they shared the scriptures, they knew what they meant. Not just grammatically, but spiritually and powerfully. They knew now. Now they knew. They didn't know before, which is why we can sort of let the disciples off the hook a little bit. You know, when we read the Gospels and we say, well, Jesus is right there in front of you, Peter. Can't you understand? And it's, no, he can't understand because his mind has not yet been opened to understand. But now it has. the disciples now, when they hear those words read from the prophets, from the Psalms, from the Old Testament, from all of the Torah, they know, they all point to Jesus now. And they need to know this, because if they're going to go out there and proclaim this message, they need to be able to know where they're proclaiming from. They need to know the story to tell, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to tell the story of Jesus. We'll see. I don't want to jump to Pentecost yet, though it's hard, because we know it's coming. We know what's coming up in Pentecost when that Holy Spirit ignites the hearts of those that are called to proclaim the Word of God. But we're not there yet. Right now, they're preparing. Right now, they're figuring out what they are to do, but they don't know yet. But what they do know is who Jesus is. Not just in general, but specifically who Jesus is and what he has come to do for the whole of creation. Because in both accounts of the ascension, he gives them orders that they're first to start small. Stay in Jerusalem. Tell the people that are gathered there the story. Then, from there, you're going to go out to Judea. You're going to go down to Judea, and then you're going to go up to Samaria. Samaria? That place that they always tried to avoid when they were going from place to place. They would walk around Samaria because, well, you know those Samaritans. We don't want to spend too much time there. And yet now Jesus is saying, you're going to go tell the story there too. Those Samaritans are going to hear the story of Jesus. And then from there, you're going to go even out further. You're going to go to the ends of the earth, to all nations, all people, all tribes, all languages are going to hear the story of Jesus. This is what the ascension starts. This is the, as that statement said, this is the lighting of the fuse. As that burns towards Pentecost, and then comes the explosion. But we're not there yet. We're watching the fuse burn. We're watching it as it gets closer, and we know what's coming. Jesus is the beginning of the end here. He's giving the church the power to do what the church has been called to do. He begins with the disciples and expands outward all the way to Eugene, Oregon. Or Eugene, Oregon, however you want to pronounce it. But not Oregon. The story has come to our ears. Thousands of years later, and thousands of miles away, the story has reached your ears. You don't have to go to some other place to find it. You don't have to go hunting on the top of the mountain to hear it. You don't have to sit and meditate until you come to some mystical understanding of the universe. You can come here. And in fact, the story came to you. That may have been a couple of weeks ago. That may have been years ago. Who knows? But that story has reached your ears. And the amazing thing, through the work of God and the Holy Spirit, that story has not changed. That story that the disciples opened, had their understanding open to understand the understanding, hasn't changed. The same story of Jesus Christ, born of a Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, suffering under Pontius Pilate, being crucified, dying, and being raised from the dead, and then ascending into heaven, all for the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of mankind, that has not changed. It's still the story today. For you and for me, it's the story. It's the story of our salvation. It's the story of us sinners being grabbed by the scruff of the neck sometimes and saved. Saved meaning rescued. Saved meaning pulled from the jaws of death, meaning being grasped out of the grip of evil. That's your story. Now, you may not necessarily account all of the details, but that doesn't matter, because that story hasn't changed. It's the same. Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again for your forgiveness. So you are forgiven of all of your sins. You've already heard it once in the confession. Hear it again in the sermon. Your sins are forgiven because the ascended Lord Jesus Christ gave the story to the church so that your ears could hear it and the waters of baptism could wash you. The same waters that washed the disciples, the same waters that have washed millions and millions of people, washed you. That's the story that's told. And it's not just a Sunday school cartoon to draw. This is you. This is God for you. This is what it's all about, people. This is why we're here. This is why the Holy Spirit has called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified his entire church on earth so that you, sitting here today, could hear the story again of your forgiveness. Now, having said that, we don't just get to sit here and say, yeah, that's a great story. The disciples could have. They understood all of the scriptures, and they could have stayed in Jerusalem and said, we're just going to tell the story from here. It's a great story. So now those of us, disciples, followers of Jesus, we have the same opportunity, the same call, the same command, if you would, to go out and share the story. To share the story of Jesus. And you can tell it. You can tell it via the Apostles' Creed if you want to. The second article tells the story in very short points, and you can do that. I would love it if you did that. But you can also tell the story from you. I'm sure it's not recorded in Scripture, but I'm sure at some point, Peter, Andrew, James, John, all of the disciples had a story to tell about when Jesus called them. When Jesus said, you, follow me. We all have a story. We may not know all of the details, but that's not important. What we have is the Holy Spirit who goes with us to share that story. Wherever it is we go, whomever we encounter, we have an opportunity to share the story of our ascended Lord Jesus who is coming again. We don't know when. He doesn't let us know when. And he tells the disciples, it's not for you to know when. So don't worry about when. Let God do that. That's his job. You tell the story. Share it with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Share the story. Tell others about what Jesus has done for you. We'll get to Pentecost. It's coming. The fuse is lit. It's burning down. And there's going to be an explosion of the church through the Holy Spirit. But we're not quite there yet. Until then, we have the opportunity, the challenge, the command to tell the story. So share it. Share it with anybody who's going to give you 2 minutes to listen. With the guy standing in front of you getting coffee. He may opt out of line and you get there first. So who knows what advantage it may come. Tell the story of what Jesus has done for you and who he is for you. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.